Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are in John 20, 19 through 31, and it's just been an amazing passage that we've talked about. I hope you've been able to listen. And today we're going to talk about Thomas, and he always had that bad rap about the doubting Thomas, so we'll see some good things with Thomas too.
Right. Okay, so in John 20, 19, 31, we ended with how Thomas was the one that held out and wasn't believing. And so let's go through the story, and then we'll look at Thomas and see what we can learn. He has some virtues, and then he has some things that we could actually think on that we might want to consider not doing. Okay, so evening of the first day of the week, John 20, 19 through 31 tells us that the disciples were gathered behind locked doors because they're afraid of the Jews. And Jesus appears to them and says, "Peace be with you." And he shows them his hands and feet, and the disciples rejoice because they've seen the Lord. And Jesus says again, "Peace be with you. So as the Father sent me, I send you." And after saying this, he breathes on them and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive sins, they're forgiven. And if you retain them, they are retained." But one of the 12, Thomas, is a twin, was not there when Jesus came, and the disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." And he said, "If I don't see the mark of nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark and put my hand in his side, I will never believe." Well, about 8 days later, the disciples once again are indoors locked, and they are together, and Thomas is with them, and Jesus appears and says, "Peace be with you." And he says to Thomas, "Put your finger here and observe my hands and feet. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Don't be an unbeliever, believe." So Thomas responds, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus says, "Because you've seen, you believe. But those who believe without seeing, they're the blessed ones." Scripture tells us that Jesus performed many signs in the presence of his disciples, and that they're not written in the books. But these are written down so that you may believe that Jesus is Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing that you may have life in his name. May God honor the telling of his word. Okay, let's just think on Thomas. What are some things that we can learn from Thomas? And just what do you observe from him?
Well, first of all, he doesn't believe right away because he has to have proof of Jesus.
I wonder what his relationship with the other disciples was like, that he wouldn't believe their word even, you know, that the fact that they were overjoyed and believed these things didn't make a difference to him. But he's like, "No, I have to see it for myself." There's not very much trust for his friends.
Well, I don't even know that it's a lack of trust as much as that he's just probably more of a logical person.
That's what I was saying, mathematical.
Well, yeah, right. I mean,
some people need more than other people. Some people can't take the simple.
Right. Well, believing that Jesus raised from the dead is a life-transformative belief. It's not something like, "Oh, okay, I believe you." Right. It's like, if this is actually true, it will change my life 100%.
Yeah. So he's looking for that, I think.
I need something to verify that.
He needs proof.
I wrote down in my Bible, I don't know where I got this, it says, "Better to doubt aloud than unbelieve in silence."
Exactly.
And I like that because I'm thinking, he's that way right there.
He's willing to express
it out there.
Right. He's willing to communicate and have it out there. Barclay had a couple of things that I wrote down that I thought, wow, you know, he's just thinking through some things that are life lessons we need to be thinking about, because we are all called to be in community. He's one of the 12. He's a part of the community. And as Janelle said, for 8 days, where was he? And he's pulled himself out. He's not active with it, what's happening in the community. He wasn't with them when Jesus appeared in the room that was, you know, the first time. So that we have to think about, what are we missing out on when we pull ourselves away from the body of Christ? That there are times that there are those that, when they're in grief, let's just think on that, because they're in grief. Some people are going to pull away from the body of Christ. Some people are going to draw to the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And Barclay was implying, wait a minute, hold on, let's think on this. What could we be missing if we've withdrawn from the very ones that can give us strength, the very ones that can help us in our unbelief or in our loneliness or in our sadness or whatever it is? And so he said that we really need to think through what happens when we have pulled ourselves away? And what might we be missing of Jesus when we pull away from community? I never would have thought of that. Like, my mind was like, oh, he's just out. He's gone home. He's taking care of his wife and kids. I mean, my mind, I just never even occurred
to me. I was thinking he was doing a lot of pondering about what they said.
Could be, you know, because some people are more introspective.
They are. And some people take a long time to process.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm an extrovert. I feed off people. Greg's an introvert. He needs to withdraw to think through it, you know. So that's where my mind was. And then he says, we need to also think through, we miss a great deal when we're alone. Mm-hmm. There's benefits when we're alone.
Mm. But depends we also miss
a great, we miss a great deal when we're alone. And I'm like, okay, that works. And he said, sorrow is something we shouldn't run from or hide from. Sorrow is something we should embrace. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, you know, okay, that's something worth thinking about. Because when I'm in sorrow, even though I'm an extrovert, I kind of want to be alone. And so just he pulled out a different perspective I hadn't thought of before. And so I thought, you know, that's kind of some things worthy of us thinking on. Let's think on the fact that Thomas had to have touch involved.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that was? What was it that was... I have to touch it.
I don't know. I'm that kind of a person.
Okay.
And I'm just talking about clothes right now. You have to touch it to feel it,
mm-hmm.
you know, the softness of it. But he just needed to be reached out and be touched by Jesus.
Mm.
He wanted to be able to touch him.
Right.
Well, and many times the people that deceive are those that are like, oh, do you feel the feeling? And people, you know, people's feelings are impressionable. They're not concrete. They're very easily swayed. And so unless you have something that's visible and tangible and something that you know that you're not being deceived, then it's a lot easier to believe on something like that than something that's a feeling or a sight even.
Exactly. And different people's love languages, some people need touch, you know, hands-on. A scientist tends to be a person that might be hands-on.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking he probably has more like a scientific mind, an analytical mind. You know, he just needs to have that physical touch for proof kind of thing. Okay, so those are some of the things that, like, Thomas might have struggled with. Let's think on some virtues that we could take from Thomas. What's a virtue you think you could learn from him?
I think when he had, I think being able to question, ask questions. If you don't know, you need to find out how to, go to somebody that has that scripture to send you to or whatever.
Right. It's good to ask questions. It's good to communicate. It's good to, like, if you're struggling with something, you just need to say it. It's not offensive. It's just, I just need to know.
Right.
And so Thomas was really good at that. And so love that. I also love the fact that he had uncompromising honesty.
Yeah.
He was willing to be real with what he was struggling with instead of mulling it inside and not allowing it to become a distraction or a distortion by keeping it hidden. He brought it out in the open.
Right.
So whereas on Barclay was saying on the flip side, you know, he withdrew those 8 days, here we have, when he is present, he's very clear on what he has been mulling over and not afraid to say that. And then I think the thing that Barclay summed up that was pretty cool, and it matches our Grace University, our theme is all in. And once Thomas heard and saw Jesus,
he was all in.
It doesn't tell us that he touched. It says Jesus offers it to him. It says, you know, put your finger here. He may have, I don't know. But his response is, my Lord, my God, when he sees. It doesn't tell us that
he
actually touched.
I was just noticing
that. I've always assumed that he touched.
He did it.
Now, I don't know if another gospel account tells us that he did, but it doesn't say that he did. He just responded, oh, you are my Lord, you are my God. And Barclay says he was there. And I'm going to use Grace's phrase, he was all in.
Mm-hmm.
Once he saw and heard, he was all in. Mm-hmm. Once he actually was able to make that connection. And I love it because it's not halfway, it's wholehearted. Mm-hmm. And that's beautiful. You know, and that he made that full measure of what he needed to do.
And I really liked it, too, that Jesus didn't, He didn't rebuke him or make fun of him or whatever. Not make fun. Jesus would never do that, but he didn't rebuke. I love that.
Right.
Because he knew exactly what Thomas needed.
Exactly.
And he needed to see him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I love it. Many lessons we can learn from Thomas. Now, we are going to sum up our lesson. So we've looked at peace, we've looked at joy, we have looked at the fourfold ministry that we have through, I mean, there's a lot that we've learned in this one. Mm. And now we've looked at virtues that we can learn from Thomas's experience and how to be readily available for hearing from Christ. Westcott says that essentially this is almost like a charter example for the church. And I thought, really? Yeah. That's pretty interesting. He gives 2 points, and the 2 points are, it's all about, my word to sum Westcott up is, it's about dependence. Mm. And the dependence that Christ had on the Father, and that he depended on the Father. The Father sent him, and so he now sends us, and he's depending on us. And so Westcott says that Jesus needs the church. Essentially, he needs the body of Christ. He needs you. He needs me. And that's revolutionary if you think about it, that he trusts us to be the one who proclaims our God reigns. He loves us so much. He sent his Son, and that he is Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Holy One. Mm-hmm. And that we have to be the ones now that speak from our mouth to become the mouth. And that we need to be the hands and feet, the very hands and feet that Thomas says, let me touch. Mm-hmm. I won't believe until I touch. He's now saying, you're the ones that need to speak and be the hands and feet. And so that people will believe and be blessed because they have believed on my name, which is what it says at the end of the chapter. It says, you know, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And by believing, you may have life in his name. And so the trust that he has given to us as the body of Christ. And then he says that it's the dependence that we have on him. Mm-hmm. And that goes back actually to match up with what Guzik said, and that in order to be sent, we have to know that we are sent. In order to be sent, we have to know the message that we're to take. In order to be sent, we need to know the power and the authority that we have. In order to be sent, we need to know that we are not to be in doubt or in difficulty, and that we have to depend on Jesus. It has to be from him. Mm-hmm. So in that peace, in that joy, in recognizing that dependence and the interdependence that we have with him and he has with us, pretty powerful.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
How have you seen that dependence at work in your life?
Well, I think anytime you're going through difficulties, you're always depending on him. But we need to learn to depend on him all the time. It's so much easier, you know, when you're having those trying times, whether it be grief or whether it be loneliness or whatever somebody's dealing with. Everybody's struggling with something, you know, until we realize we need to look up, you know, and ask Jesus to help us. He helps us. We just need to ask.
I love it. Yeah. And making sure and helping each other with that.
Yes.
And helping each other to recognize that interdependence has to take place so that when somebody asks the hard questions or is struggling or doesn't know how to connect to the Prince of Peace in them or doesn't know how to embrace the joy that they have been given, because joy is our strength. And in our peace, we find strength, and how those are interdependent, and helping somebody to be at the point where, one, you proclaim Christ to them, but to where that they can proclaim what Christ has done in their behalf.
I was just going to say, we need that experience we've had with Christ, you know, in different areas. First of all, accepting him as our Lord and Savior, but then the troubles that we go through. We're there then for those, because he does. He brings those people into your life. I'm so amazed sometimes at how many people he's brought into my life right now as a widow or breast cancer or my MS. It just amazes me, you know, that we're there for a reason. We're going through, and it's hard to rejoice in those.
It is.
But that's what it says to do, you know, because there's going to be a reason when we come through it to use it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's important. It's critical. And thinking through the interdependence of what they're going to need and recognizing that as they go forth and they proclaim the gospel in Acts. Just think about it in Acts where Peter, and he's up there and the people are accusing them of being drunk and he tells them, we're not drunk. And he goes, this is the Spirit of God. And proclaiming that, and so trusting his dependence then on Christ so that he can then bring them into dependence on Christ. Mm-hmm. And what, 3,000+ come to the Lord that day?
That was a lot that day.
Yeah.
It's crazy
and
how many.
Having that dependence be there and having that connection. So the scripture then tells us in John 20:30 that Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book.
Yeah, probably Luke. He was so precise on everything. He liked to put that down there.
You know, not knowing all that he did, like if they actually wrote everything he did.
Oh, the book would be too big.
Right, well, yeah.
I mean, it's
a 3-year proclamation of what Christ had done. I wonder how big that volume would be. Huge.
I can't even imagine.
Right. And, but here's the summation. We start off where he greets them with peace and he tells them why he's come to send them. Mm-hmm. And then John tells us clearly why it's been written. He says, that you may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. That's the proclamation that needs to happen. That's what brings the peace. And
then the promise comes.
Completely.
That by believing.
By believing.
You may
you
have
receive,
life.
Right. Mm-hmm. You may receive the gift of eternal life. It's a gift from God. And being able to share Christ with people so that they may know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I think it's one of the greatest things that we can have happen. And being willing to listen to God when he puts something on our heart. And a challenge that I have done in my life that I've revisited, I did a long, long time ago, and I hadn't done it in a long time. God put it on my heart, I guess probably this summer I started. I've made a list, and then just as people come before me that I may not necessarily know for certain they know the Lord, I have a list of souls that I'm praying for. Now, I don't do it every day, but most days I do, and I will read those names out before God and ask for their souls, that their eyes may be enlightened to the inheritance they have been given in Christ Jesus. And I've been astounded at how many different opportunities God has brought the different people before me that I might be able to have conversation
with. He's amazing.
We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.